I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, what's going on? It's Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, here with you with another episode of the Steelers Preview. We have news to talk about today. Actually, I would say a lot of news, and what's most exciting for me is it has nothing to do with Antonio Brown. So, with that being said, I welcome my co-host, my esteemed co-host, Brian Anthony Davis. Brian, how's it going? How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling great, and I got to tell you, my son asked me just about 10 minutes ago, Dad, why are you doing shows in the off-season? I thought that ended, because, you know, really, at my house, the fact that I'm hogging the Wi-Fi bugs them like crazy, so Thursday nights are the worst night in my house for everybody else except for me, because I love it. And I said, son, there is so much going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers this time of year, especially right now. And you just said it. So I'm feeling awesome. Things are happening. I mean, it's just like I'm waiting for the phone to beep every single time to get the alert and see what's happening in Steeler Nation, because lots of stuff going on.
It took my wife a long time. I would probably say I've been the editor of the website now. I want to say this is my fifth or sixth season coming up. And it took her a long time to finally realize that there is no off season. That all the off season means is that Sundays, Mondays, or Thursdays are not completely devoted to me sitting in front of the TV. There's still news to write about. There's always stuff going on. The NFL has turned themselves into a 24/7, 365-day machine. And kudos to the National Football League. Other organizations and leagues cannot do this. Major League Baseball, not even close. NBA, they try, but they fail. NHL, that's a joke. So the NFL is nonstop. And so the news today is that the Steelers, and I got to be honest, this was a surprise move for me in a lot of different ways. They signed two of their offensive linemen to new contracts. The first that was reported by Adam Schefter, that was Marquise Pouncey getting a 3-year, I want to say it was $29.5 million deal for Marquise Pouncey, making him the most, the highest paid center in the National Football League. I think he's going to make around $11 million a year. Here, that wasn't so much surprising. What was surprising was then they went out and signed, they got Ramon Foster back for two more seasons. At nine, do you have that number in front of you, Brian? Is it $9 million that he got? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I thought it was about 8.5. Okay. I don't have it in front of me. But
it's around nine. It's around nine. But what made that one so surprising was that the day prior, so Wednesday, the Steelers put a tender out on B.J. Finney, essentially keeping him in Pittsburgh, and he's going to make roughly $3 million a year. And so everyone was like, wow, this means that Foster's probably gone, and Foster's back. I think this is a tremendous move by the Steelers, first and foremost. And Brian, I'll get your take here in a second. Because now, not only do they have the interior of their offensive line set up for years, David DeCastro is under a new deal, Pouncey's now good for another three, Foster's there for another two. And not only that, they have quality depth on the interior offensive line. B.J. Finney can play both center. He can play center and both guard positions. Tremendous moves by the Steelers this week. They're not going to be done. We'll talk about that here in a second. But Brian, when you saw the news of Pouncey and Foster being brought back, what was your reaction? Happy, sad, indifferent? Go ahead and tell us.
It's Marquise Pouncey. He is a big leader, a big vocal leader in that locker room. He gets along with pretty much everybody on both sides of the ball, but he gets along with Ben Roethlisberger really well. And they kind of had this pact that they were going to go out at the same time. So with him re-upping for 3 years, that means that, you know, Ben will be staying, and we pretty much thought that would be happening. But that means that Ben has an intact line, and it's a very big deal. Having those five guys back. Now, I predicted on Fact or Fiction that just ran, I guess, today, that they wouldn't be keeping all three. I thought they would try to keep Finney and try to keep Foster, and Filer might be the odd man out. And that's probably what's going to be happening here.
Well, Filer got a tender, and so he will technically, unless someone wants to sign him and the Steelers don't want to match that offer, then they would get, obviously, that round tender. I think Filer will be back. I think the Steelers are saying, look, there might be a lot of moving parts right now on this offense, but the one thing that's not going to change is the offensive line. And that's, in today's day and age, that's remarkable, if you think about it. They're going to have all five of their starters back next year, assuming that Marcus Gilbert is not a salary cap dump player where they cut him to save some cap space. If he comes back, everyone's going to be back. That's what Roethlisberger wants, and that kind of leads into the second topic of conversation, and that is that I'm going to go as far as saying you can expect, Steeler fans, you can expect to have the news break tomorrow at some point in time stating that Ben Roethlisberger gets a new, I'm going to go ahead and say he gets a 3-year extension on his current deal, or they might do what they did with Pouncey and say, we're going to give him a new contract. And if they do that, they might say he gets a new 3-year contract, which means that would start this year. And I'm not sure per the collective bargaining agreement, if that's even possible. So don't take this as gospel, but that way they might be able to decrease his cap hit, because he's due like $26 million this year against his salary cap. It's a huge number because they've pushed his money back so many times. So I would say that tomorrow, Friday, but by the time that you're listening to this, this might be old news and Ben Roethlisberger might have a new deal. Brian, I think you agree with the fact that Roethlisberger's new deal is coming soon, definitely before the new league year starts. If you were to give him a new deal, what are you talking about for years? I don't care about dollar signs. I'm talking about how long is this contract? Is it a new deal? Is it an extension? How many years do you think Roethlisberger is going to be back in Pittsburgh for?
I'm thinking it's an extension, and I'm thinking it's 3 years, just like you said.
Okay. He and Pouncey, like you said, they've said it for a couple years now. Pouncey says, I'll be here as long as Ben is. Ben says, I'm here as long as Pouncey is. And it looks like if Pouncey's getting a 3-year deal, I wouldn't be shocked if Roethlisberger's deal follows suit. And here we go. You know, here we go. So the last bit of news before we get into our normal discussion is, everyone's talking about Antonio Brown. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but everyone's saying that Friday, tomorrow, when this is going to be published on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, is the day that Antonio Brown is supposed to be traded. So, Brian, what does your gut tell you? A, is it going to be done on Friday? And B, if it is, where is he going and what are they getting for him? Look into your crystal ball. Tell us.
Well, my gut all along was Friday. To the Raiders I had a couple things that I was thinking. I'm thinking they could get that 27th pick. They don't have to go into the second round. But then I started to think, you know what they could possibly do if they wanted to get another pick? They could possibly still just get maybe the 27th rounder, but maybe swap picks with the Raiders if they go with Oakland, to swap second round picks. So yeah, Move up and maybe they can have the 34th, which would be absolutely amazing. That's just what I think could possibly happen. It's probably a stretch, but now I'm getting worried. I'm getting cold feet because now I'm thinking, will there actually be a deal tomorrow? We'll be watching the ticker all day and nothing happens. Was this a chance to drive up interest? Because there's one outlet saying that it's down to one team right now. Then I'm hearing that there's two front runners that aren't the Raiders. It's Tennessee and Washington, which I just heard a few hours ago. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm thinking it should be tomorrow, but I'm not holding my breath, Jeff.
No, I'm not either. I wouldn't be shocked if it went over into the weekend. I think it was a sales tactic, so to speak, by Kevin Colbert, and saying that We want everyone's best offer by Friday because that's when we're going to make the deal. If someone says, yeah, look, we're going to need more time, we got to yada, 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 whatever the case may be, they'll wait. I don't think they're going to rush this just because, you know, if they don't have a deal that they think is suitable, they're not going to pull the trigger on a deal just because it's Friday and they said it was Friday. Now, with that said, I hope every fan is just enamored with a first round pick, and rightfully so, because we know how good Antonio Brown is. But at the same time, let's not decrease the value of an early second round pick either. Because, yeah, it would be great for the Steelers to somehow move up and get Devin White from LSU, who had a phenomenal combine. His tape looks great. He looks like an inside linebacker that's going to be really good for a really long time. But at the same time, you've seen it before. When you draft 20th, sometimes the prospect's there, and then you have another prospect that you really wanted that's still hanging around at the early second round. But if you're waiting until that 40th pick or whatever pick it would be, I don't know when they pick in the second. That was bad math on my part. But you wait for that second round pick. Sometimes they're not there. You get an early second. It's almost like a late first. You can make some really good decisions and really good picks that way. So, Brian, if what you said is correct, if it is an early second that they get for Antonio Brown, I wouldn't be so upset with that. If it's like a third or a fourth round pick for Antonio Brown, I'm going to be upset with that, period. But if you were, say, Brian, where would you want, if you could handpick out of the teams that have supposedly been interested in Antonio Brown, if you could say, I'm going to handpick what team I'm going to send him to, where would you send him? Let's see how vindictive you are tonight.
Right now, it's the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
I have selfish reasons for that because where we live, living in the state of Maryland, and yep, the Washington Redskins actually play in the state of Maryland, which a lot of people don't realize that they actually play in this particular state. But for me, it's the fact that, you know, he's kind of be lost there. I mean, the quarterback situation there has changed tonight. It looks like they're going to go ahead and get Case Keenum from the Broncos for a...
Brian, don't worry. It's the same thing.
Yeah. But it's, they're getting them basically for nothing, and they're swapping sixth round picks. So they're getting them for a seventh and a swap of sixes. So they're really getting them for nothing. But I don't think Case Keenum is a decent quarterback when he's surrounded with good players in Washington. That's a mess up there, and it continues to be getting worse. That would really rough him up. Now, look, I'm not looking for bad things for Antonio Brown. I'm just looking for him to be a non-factor, and I'd like to keep him out of the AFC. But I would also enjoy the fact that they're going to be playing that team next year. Not this coming season, but in 2020, they'll be playing that team in Pittsburgh. And I think that would be entertaining to see him come back as a Redskin. I would enjoy that immensely. Like I said, I don't wish awful things on him. I just don't want to see him in the AFC and give Pittsburgh any problems.
No, I agree with you. I think if there was one team other than Washington, because it's such a dumpster fire there and we've live it so often here in Maryland. I think that if for me, I would look at this and say, if there's someone else, you know, send him to the Jets. Even if he and Le'Veon Bell went to the Jets, is that team going to be that much better? You know what I mean? I just look at that team as, they're young and they have a lot of money to spend, but that doesn't always equate to success. What if Le'Veon Bell signed with them and so did Antonio Brown and they both just completely floundered up in New York? I don't wish injury on anyone, but I don't wish any success for either of these guys. I just can't stand the way that they went about getting out of town. I can't stand Le'Veon Bell for sitting out a whole year. I just can't stand it. And I said this to Lance on our show, The Standard is a Standard. I don't want it to come off like every single player that leaves Pittsburgh, I'm upset with. That is not the case whatsoever. I use the example of Jericho Cotchery. Even you go back in the 90s with Chad Brown. I mean, there have been a ton of players that have left Pittsburgh, and you'd never want to see guys leave. But at the same time, you also understand that it's part of the business. The way these guys have handled their business, is not kosher with me at all. So I understand what people are saying, that, you know, some people are saying, hey, you know, I wish him nothing but the best, because Antonio Brown's given us a lot of highlights in 9 years. But at the same time, you acting like a clown in the last 2 months has completely tarnished that at 100%. So, Brian, anything else about the news that you want to touch on, or did I miss anything before we move on?
You didn't miss anything, but things continue to be happening. This 2019 team is starting to take shape. And really, as soon as Antonio was traded and Le'Veon Bell signs with another team, it's almost going to be a sigh of relief, just because the drama should be over at that point. And like I said, yeah, I mentioned that country song before. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically, I'm at that point now. And it took me a long time to get there. I think this weekend, and being on the shop with LeBron James, who I could talk about LeBron James being the biggest hypocrite in sports, because just for the fact that everything that he's laughing about Ben Roethlisberger doing, he does tenfold when every team that he's at, he decides who comes, who goes, does all this. But I'm just glad it's going to be over. And I'm glad that that we could move on. And I'm hoping that your prophecy on your article that you had today about the 2019 Steelers winning the North, I hope that prophecy comes true.
Yeah, that was Lance Williams' podcast. Yeah, I said it, which ran today, and he's lazy, so I write the articles for him. But
okay. Well, I'm giving you credit.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But it's a good podcast. I do want to give Lance credit. Go check it out if you haven't. You can go to our audio platforms, go to any audio platform, and you'll get that. It won't be live on YouTube like we are right now. I'm working on getting that done. But yeah, you can find Lance's show there. And I'll tell you what, it's starting to take shape. I really like how you put that. It's starting to take shape with the offensive line back. Yeah, there's going to be a huge hole wide receiver, but let's see what the Steelers do. Let's see what they do. Put a little trust. The one thing I do want to mention, I'm going to write an article. I need to write it tonight so I can run it tomorrow before the news of a potential Roethlisberger contract hits. There's still a lot of people in this fan base, and I don't say a majority, but there's a lot of people that say the Steelers are they're done. We're just rebuild. Well, you know what? If you're going to rebuild, then don't give Ben Roethlisberger a new contract. Because if you're rebuilding, first and foremost, if you're rebuilding, you don't put all that money into the offensive line. You put it, you know, elsewhere. But if you're going to rebuild, quote unquote, then don't give Ben a new deal. Let him play out his last year and then move on to Mason Rudolph or Joshua Dobbs, because clearly they're going to be the next in line if and when Roethlisberger leaves. I don't agree with that sentiment. I don't think there's any way that they're in rebuild mode or anything of that nature, because they still have, I mean, look at the defense. They still have a lot of pieces of the puzzle there. We're going to talk about safeties today after we talk about inside linebackers for the second time. That's a joke if you listen to our last show when we talked about outside linebackers twice. But still, What's that?
I'm sorry. Somewhere Dave Schofield is smiling.
Yeah, he's chuckling. You agree with me, right? This team's not in rebuild mode. I mean, I call it reloading. You know, good teams don't rebuild, they reload. I heard that once. I don't remember what team it was referring. It wasn't the Steelers, but I agree with it. So, what are your thoughts on that? You don't think they're rebuilding, are you, Brian?
Not at all. For everything that you said and more, because this Antonio Brown situation gives them a chance to go ahead and add an extra first round pick. And somebody was telling me yesterday, they're like, well, hey, what if they got the Cardinals number two? I'm like, they're not getting the Cardinals number two. What if they got the Cardinals number, the second round pick? I mean, excuse me, the second pick in the first round. They should go out and get Dwayne Haskins. And I'm like, no, they shouldn't, because you're building for now. I mean, you're not going to re-up Ben Roethlisberger. That'd be just a wasted pick at that point. Yeah. So no, they still think the window's open, which I'm glad they think the window's open. I mean, being a Pirates fan, I've watched them close the window on themselves when they didn't have to. I mean, and it's true.
I know. I mean, I'm a Pirates fan.
2016, they did it. They just shut the window.
Oh, well, So, they called it a bridge year before the season even started.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the difference in mentalities in the same city. Yeah. And then you look at, I know this isn't a Pittsburgh sports show, then you look at a team like the Penguins, who they're always getting rid of their first round picks because they're always playing for the now. And yeah, that's what I respect. And the Steelers are playing for the now right now. So that's just what they need to do with this extra pick. That's going to help them with, if they clear some free agent room, cap space, that's going to give them some room to maybe bring in a free agent to help bridge that gap. But with the way this draft is built, they could get a cornerback of their dreams and an inside linebacker of their dreams in the first round if they have two first round picks, or they could get one of the top wide receivers. Then they could help out on the other end with through free agency, and they could do a few things there. I mean, it's a couple steps, just a couple small things to go ahead and get them back where they need to be and ready to go.
Yeah, so I do want to talk about free agents in a second. Before we get to that, though, I do want to bring it up. Think about this. Let's assume that Roethlisberger gets a three-year extension, okay? Now, most of those times, there's kind of like a year, maybe even 2 years, built into the contract where the team says, we realize there's a likelihood that this is not going to – he's not going to live out the – not. I didn't mean that way, live out, but he's not going to play out the entire contract. I'm not wishing ill on anybody here. So let's say 2 years. Okay. So 2 year extension. So he has 1 year left on his deal, two more years after that. I think this could actually work out in the Steelers' favor in terms of the quarterback position. So hear me out. Let's assume that Mason Rudolph, because I'm a big fan of Mason Rudolph, let's assume that he wins the quarterback two position going into the 2019 season. So it's Roethlisberger, Rudolph, Dobbs in that order. And they see enough in Rudolph that they think, okay, this guy is going to be the future here. They will have Roethlisberger leaving at the same time that Rudolph will be leaving his rookie contract. Now, with that said, think about how they could get Rudolph cheap because he hasn't done anything really, unless Roethlisberger misses an extended period of time and Rudolph comes in and plays really, really well. We hope that Roethlisberger does not get hurt, but we do hope that Rudolph does show a lot of promise. But let's say he doesn't see a lot of time in those 2 years. They might be able to get him in a really cheap deal. And if he is the guy, think about how cheap your quarterback position is in terms of a salary cap hit. It would almost be like having a rookie at quarterback, and you're able to spend some more money and get more players around him. I think this could actually work out in the Steelers' favor. Brian, am I nuts, or do you see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what could happen. Just depends if somebody wants to try to poach him, but they're not going to give you a huge deal if you haven't played and if they haven't seen anything from you. So, and you know what? Second string quarterback, even with Ben's increasing age, will get a lot of time in practice because Ben doesn't practice on Wednesdays. And that's probably something that's going to continue. So, I mean, they can see everything they need to see from him on the practice field, and hopefully they don't see him in games the next couple years unless it's in August.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get right into our Stat Geek segment. Brian, you're taking that over for Dave Schofield while he is, I don't know, sipping on a pina colada somewhere. So, Brian, go ahead. We're talking about safeties today. It's what the position we're going to analyze in terms of the depth chart. We're almost done. It's hard to believe, but go ahead, Brian, with your Stat Geek stuff.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let me tell you what, I really respect what Dave does, because putting these stats together is really tough. And he goes to like different dimensions that I could even, you know, possibly go to. But I really think it's amazing what he puts together here. So we're talking about the safety position. And I'm not sure if you know this, Jeff, but six safeties in Pittsburgh Steeler history. And when I talk Pittsburgh Steeler history, I talk 1969 and up. Okay. I call that the modern era. Gotcha. And so that's basically what I'm looking at. Cause you know, I brought up Dave Rieger last week and no one knew who he was. and it's just, I mean, it was fun to throw that name out there, but let's just like when Chuck Knoll and Joe Green arrived, that's when the Steelers began, and that's the last 50 years. So in the last 50 years, six Pittsburgh Steelers have made the Pro Bowl. Before I get to who has the most, only one of them has ever won a Super Bowl. There's one of them, of those six Pro Bowls, that has not, actually, he's been to a Super Bowl, but he has never been on the winning end of it. Who is that?
There's only one safety that has been on that's on the top on the Pro Bowl list in terms of
in the Pro Bowl, yeah.
That is, and there's never
six
won.
Of them. No, there's six of them. Only six have made it, Jeff.
Six safeties in the modern era have ever made the Pro Bowl, and only one of them has not won a Super Bowl. Correct.
Correct.
Okay, I'm gonna say say it's Carnell Lake.
It is Carnell Lake.
Yeah, that's right.
And he did not win one with the Ravens either.
No, he was on the 95 team that lost to Dallas. But did he play safety that year? Or did he switch from corner to safety that season?
He played both safety and corner. That was his big switch year.
Right.
That's when Rod Woodson went down. He did not win the Super Bowl, but he's been to the Pro Bowl. Now, which of those six Steelers has been to the most Pro Bowls?
Safeties?
Yes.
I would guess Troy Polamalu.
Polamalu has been to the Pro Bowl eight times. Now, here's a really interesting stat.
Is that the right answer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's been there the most eight times. Okay. Two for two tonight. That's good.
Yeah. Now, this is going to be a tough one. This is the stumper. If you get this one, I'm gonna buy you tofurkey, jerky. There you go. Can you make jerky out of tofurkey? But anyways, the Steelers have sent two sets of safeties simultaneously to the Pro Bowl on three separate occasions. So what I'm saying, two safeties in the Pro Bowl same year.
Okay, Clark and Polamalu, would that be one?
That's the one. Now, the other set are the same exact two guys 2 years in a row.
I'm going to guess it's from the 70s, right?
Yeah, it is.
So it's Donnie Schell and who's a safety that played alongside him. Oh, I can picture his face. Just thinking of his name. Is it Wagner?
Wagner, it is.
Yeah.
Donnie Schell, it is not.
No, not Donnie Schell, really?
It is. Donnie Schell did not make the Pro Bowl until 1978.
So who was it?
It, no tofurkey jerky.
who was it? It wasn't Donnie Schell. It was who then?
In 1975 and 1976, it was Glenn Edwards.
Glenn Edwards.
And Mike Wagner.
Mike Wagner. Okay. They made it 2 years, both tandems. That's pretty interesting. I was so close. Okay. I thought for sure it would have been Donnie Schell.
I thought so for sure, too. When I saw that, I was absolutely in shock. So when we're looking at the Pro Bowl list, it's Polamalu with eight, Schell with five, Lake with four, Wagner with two, Edwards with two, and Clark with one. So what Steeler safety leads the team in interceptions?
I think that's Donnie Schell.
It is Donnie Schell with 51.
Yeah.
Wagner is second with 36. Polamalu with 32. Now, this fourth guy is the fourth guy in interceptions, actually tied for third because he's tied with Polamalu. This person has never been to a Pro Bowl.
So this is on the interception list?
Yes, the third tied for the third most interceptions in Steeler history, never been to a Pro Bowl.
I'm going to take a flyer here. How many interceptions is that?
Pardon me?
How many, do you know you have the number of how many interceptions that is that he has?
32.
I'll go with Darren Perry.
Darren Perry it is, my friend.
He's the only safety I could think of that would have been played long enough that would have actually had a chance to actually, you know, get that many interceptions. Like, I thought for a second, well, Chris Hope, no, he didn't have that many picks. So, wow, I can't believe it.
Six picks as a rookie in that magical 1992 season. This is the last one that we're going to go ahead and talk about. Who is highest on the all-time sack list as a Steeler safety?
All-time sackless Steeler safeties. That's a tough question. I want to say Troy, but I don't think that's right.
It is not Troy.
Okay, who is it?
It's Carnell Lake with 21.5.
How many Troy is second? Well, hold on, timeout. Carnell Lake has 21.5, but were all of those from the safety position? Because if you're counting corner blitzes, that's technically not a safety sack. In which case, Troy would be the correct answer.
He was basically a corner for only 1.5 seasons, so I'll go ahead and take a look at that.
Yeah, you should.
Carnell Lake would probably still be number one, but I don't think he got 9 as a corner. I would doubt it. But here's something interesting. So 20th place on the all-time list is Carnell Lake. 38th place on the all-time list is Troy Polamalu, but he's tied with one more player. And this is a guy that we have not mentioned at all this evening.
Another safety?
It's a safety.
We haven't mentioned him yet.
Nope.
Even in my ramblings, haven't mentioned him.
Not at all. And I could probably give it away by one hint about his personality. One of the mouthiest Steelers of all time.
Well, you're not really Lee Flowers.
Lee Flowers.
I got to be honest. I'm pretty impressed. Your questions, I will say, are not as tough as Dave's, but there were some tough ones, and I was proud of myself that I got some of those. I still, that the Donnie Shell thing, I think that's a lot of people would have missed that one. But, man, Lee Flowers, paper champions. Lee Flowers, paper champions. Gosh, that guy. Man, he played with the team long enough to be that high on the sack list, really?
Yeah, he had 12 and a half.
Well, there you go. Those were good. Those were good questions. So let's now shift gears and talk about the safeties a little bit, because the safety position is one that most people would look on paper and say the Steelers don't need to address the position, but I think there's a chance that they could. So the starting safeties that you had from last year, you clearly have Sean Davis. You have it at your free safety position. Strong safety was Terrell Edmonds, a rookie. Morgan Burnett was kind of like your box linebacker slash safety. You also have Jordan Dangerfield, who signed a new contract. You have Marcus Allen, who's still under on his rookie deal. Those are kind of your safeties coming into next year. Now, Morgan Burnett said he wanted out. He wants out. And the Steelers might cut him. They could cut him and save some cap space if they wanted to do that. And there are some free agents out there that we could potentially talk about as someone that they could target. Brian, real quick, do you look at the safety position as a position of need still, or are you happy with what they have?
You know what? I do, especially with Burnett not being happy there and everybody that you have on this free agent list. This is a beautiful free agent list. They are absolutely loaded. And that was before Eric Weddle got there. And I know Eric Weddle's age has turned a lot of people off, but hey, if you can get a guy that could play well in the next 2 years at maybe a reduced contract, you know, bring somebody in. But guys on that list, you've got Landon Collins, who in 4 years, three Pro Bowls. You have Weddle. You have Earl Thomas, who I would not expect to go. Tyrann Mathieu. I always pronounce that wrong because I'm reading it. Adrian Amos as well. There are, and you even have a guy named Mike Mitchell. I mean,
nope.
That guy.
Nope.
Indeed. But no, I mean, they're loaded. It's loaded this year. I don't know how. I'm not as sold on Edmonds as being ready to, you know, start every day. And I know he played, Dave mentioned how many snaps that he took. He probably led the defense in sacks, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm just not really sold on that. I think you need three good safeties. So I would bring another guy in. The only thing for me, Jeff, is, I mean, the salary cap situation, it changes every day. People are saying, hey, we've got plenty of money. Then they're saying, we have no money. And the entire Antonio Brown situation makes it as clear as mud to me. So that's something that I'm just not comfortable with how much money they actually have. But with this whole Roethlisberger contract, possibly. I'm wondering if Pouncey's move might have cleared some space as well. So they could bring somebody in on that list. Or they could look at two other guys that they have in-house right now that you failed to mention. But for the love of Frank Webb, I do need to bring up Nat Berry.
Is he still on the team?
He is actually still. I think he signed a 2-year deal last year. But he's still on the roster. And Malik Golden, who he's just a hard luck guy.
Yeah.
That guy, he gets hurt every time they play that Thursday night game against Carolina. The last game of the season, he gets hurt. The last preseason game of the game, he gets hurt. So there's seven that they have right now signed. I would not be surprised if they brought somebody in. It's a huge list.
Yeah, no, I definitely think we agree on Edmonds. I'm not sold on him as an every down starter safety in the National Football League yet. Excuse me. So, I mean, he played okay, but I think he would be better suited for that coming off the bench, kind of the role that Morgan Burnett played last year. And I don't think he would have played this role had he been healthy all season, but he was not. And so that Edmonds got thrown into the fire. And so here you have a situation where, what do you do with Burnett? I think the Steelers, if he really wants out, you can cut him. You can save some space that way. And the question then becomes, who are you going to get? So personally, I don't think it's feasible, but I would like Landon Collins. I said this on my show, The Burning Question, the other night, where I talked about how I just think that Landon Collins is the player that would fit best alongside Davis at strong safety. He's someone that can really play the box well. He's a good tackler. He doesn't have the best coverage skills, but you can scheme around that in a lot of different ways. I definitely think that he would be atop my list. I just don't think they're going to be able to afford him. Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, he signed a 1-year deal with Houston last year. I don't know if he's going to be back or not with them. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see Earl Thomas. They're not going to be able to afford him. It's going to be really interesting to see how they attack this position and if they attack it at all in free agency. And I definitely think that if they went into this year without making any moves, I wouldn't be hitting the panic button because I would hope that Terrell Evans would get better. I would assume that Morgan Burnett would stay on the team if they're not going to make any moves. It wouldn't be horrible is what I'm saying. So would you draft a safety or are you looking elsewhere at the NFL draft?
I'm sorry, Jeff. Could you say that again?
I said, would you look in the NFL draft for a safety or are you just looking at free agency at this point?
For me, there's about 26 guys on this list. You could bring one of the lesser guys in as well and bring him in for depth. I know you have Dangerfield there. They did bring a guy like Barry in last year, even though they got very little action out of him. But that's something that they could go ahead and do as well, bring someone smaller in. I think you probably look in the draft as well. It depends how much you like a guy like Marcus Allen as well. He got very little action last year. We were looking for him all preseason. So it just depends what maybe they feel in-house that they have a good solution there. So, I mean, this could be a 50-50 proposition here.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other free agents before we go into our either or segment at the end of the show. There are some other free agents out there, and with the new league year starting next week, and a lot of free agents will already be off the market by the time we have our next show. Is there any free agent that you're looking at? And let's keep it honest with, in terms of, you have those tier one or class A, whatever you want to call it, free agents that, the Steelers are not going to be able to afford. But in the tier two, they can kind of dabble in that. Are there any free agents that you're looking at that you're like, I think this would be a good fit for the Steelers?
How about, here's a couple, and this guy might be tier one, but we didn't mention him. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. He is out there as well. With his deal with the Redskins being up, Green Bay traded him at the deadline because his deal was going to be up. There's still a guy like Kenny Vaccaro. There's a Glover Quinn from Detroit, and a guy that I kind of like that. I'm kind of shocked that he was even made available. It's a George Iloka, and we know him really well from the Cincinnati Bengals the last couple years. He was gone last year. Iloka was actually in Minnesota last year, but that's a second tier guy too. That a hard hitter, a guy that has a nose for the ball, that could be a possibility as well.
Yeah, I mean, what about CJ Mosley? What are your thoughts on him? I'm not sure if they'd be able to afford him. I think the Ravens are going to try to bring him back first and foremost. I think that's one of the reasons why they cut Eric Weddle, was to create the space to bring him back. But if Mosley's out there, are you willing to sell the bank for him, or do you have your hesitations with him?
I have no problem with it. There's some pundits in saying that he's a liability in coverage. I saw him make an interception to put the dagger in the Pittsburgh Steelers season last year. I saw him make a couple big plays in that Los Angeles Charger playoff game. I saw him make a big play against Los Angeles a couple weeks before to help put the dagger in the hearts of the Steelers. So that guy could still play. And when you look at the fact that he was two selections away from Ryan Shazier, and we would take Ryan Shazier if he was healthy right now. Yeah. And so that doesn't mean that this guy isn't that old. He came out in 2014. So he's going into his sixth season. He still has plenty of prime left. I would go ahead and make a move for a guy like that, just for his experience, just for what he could bring, and still bring a rookie in. I think that would be a great move. Will they do it? I don't know, but that's the kind of veteran deal that good teams make, bringing a guy like that in. And the Steelers don't make those moves. And this is not me calling the Steelers a bad team. It's just saying that they need to look outside the box. Kevin Colbert last week said one of his biggest regrets was not trying to replace Ryan Shazier sooner. He is going there. Their eye is on inside linebacker. I would believe that inside that draft room and right now in conversations is inside linebacker. We've got to address it in a big way. And so it's going to be done somehow.
Yeah, and Jordan Hicks is another player that I would keep your eye on as well at the linebacker position. Also, you look at Eric Weddle. A lot of people in the live chat tonight and a lot of people on the website behindthesteelcurtain.com have been talking about Eric Weddle since he was released from the Ravens. I'm not sold on him. Brian, if you're someone that says, I think we should get him, now's your chance. You got to sell me. Sell me Eric Weddle. Why the heck should the Steelers spend money to bring this guy in?
It depends what he's going for right now. At this point, if you have a window of 2 years, that's probably all that guy's worth. You bring him in a 2-year deal to win now. That's veteran leadership that defense sorely needs. And that's a guy that still could make plays. Anything beyond 2 years, I'm not touching. If you could get him for a 2-year deal, grab him right now.
Yeah. And it's definitely something where you would have to get like hey, you're going to have to take a league minimum. You know, I mean, we're not going to be giving you he's not going to take league minimum. You know what I mean? He's going to have to give a little bit of a discount, obviously, to go to Pittsburgh because there might be some teams that want to overpay for his services. So there you have that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, all right, before we get into our either or, in case you didn't know, at the end of the show, we like to have a little bit of fun. Our either or segment is always fun for at least us. Today is National Cereal Day. I didn't know this. JJ Watt, TJ Watt, a lot of Steelers on Twitter today were talking about their top five cereals. As a person that grew up eating a lot of cereal, this was extremely difficult for me. I almost feel like you have to categorize them, you know, like you have your chocolate category, you have your fruity category. I don't know, the semi-healthy category. So I told you, Brian, that we were going to do this. I'm not springing this on you. What's your list? What is your top list of cereals all told? Doesn't matter when they could be off the shelves now. They don't have to be for sale right now.
Well, I got to tell you, I've got a bunch. I've got the sweet ones, and I've got the semi-healthy ones. Let's go to the sweet ones first. Love Captain Crunch. The Captain, I mean, one of the best captains out there. I thought the Captain from Captain and Tennille, may Daryl Dragon rest in peace. I thought he was amazing. The Captain on my cereal box is even better. So I'm going to say that Captain Crunch, Crunch Berries with marshmallows, is just absolutely amazing. But Captain Crunch peanut butter is just as good. Now, I have to throw this out. This is a brand new cereal that just debuted on December 26th at Walmart only and is going to other stores in March. Sour Patch Kids cereal. And we tried it at our house.
Oh.
And they tried to emulate Sour Patch Kids in a cereal. And at first I was like, this is amazing. And then after it went on going, and then there's aftertaste, I'm like, okay, we're not going to buy another box of this. But those are on the sweet side. Those are the ones that I like. I like Count Chocula too, but if I have to look on the other side, I'm going to go after.
Hold on. Don't go yet. Don't go with your semi-healthy ones yet. Let me go through my list of sugary cereals. Okay. So we'll go, always been a big Fruit Loop fan. Always liked Fruit Loops. I've always liked Cocoa Pebbles, not Fruity Pebbles. Fruity Pebbles left this film on the milk. I never liked that. So Fruit Loops, Cocoa Pebbles, Count Chocula, Lucky Charms, and I'm trying to think which one I would put in last. I don't know. I used to always like Honeycrisp or Smacks. Those were always good too. But Honeycomb, Corn Pops, I could go on. Those are all great.
How about Golden Grahams?
Loved Golden Grahams. Loved Golden Grahams too.
I do too.
Okay, so semi-healthy ones. Which one are you going there? Go ahead, Brian. Semi-healthy cereals. Which ones are you doing?
Oh, okay. My favorite is Special K with red berries.
Huh. Never.
I like that a lot. It's basically has your dried strawberries in there with the Special K. It's actually a pretty good cereal. Of course, I'm supposed to measure it out, and then I eat the whole box like it's a snack and think I'm dieting. and then my wife yells at me. But that's a good one. And I gotta tell you, I'm still a Cheerios guy.
Okay.
Not Honey Nut. I don't like Honey Nut. I don't like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Not a Honey Nut Cheerio.
I want plain Cheerios.
Okay.
And I love it. So on the healthy side, that's what and Honey Bunches of Oats. I don't know if that's considered on the healthy end. Probably not.
I would put that. They advertise it. They advertise it as such. So yeah, we'll call it that. Go ahead.
I like that too. And don't forget Corn Chex. Corn Chex is pretty good.
I like all the Chex, but I prefer them dry and Chex mix rather than it with cereal. My favorite by far is Raisin Nut Bran. It's not a well-known cereal, but it's got those raisin nut clusters. I've always liked that. Also, Cracklin' Oat Bran is one that I don't know if you can still find that on the shelves, but it was an expensive cereal, but it tasted so good. I don't know why. It looked like basically like grape nuts clumped together in a square, but it just tasted so much better. I tried grape nuts on multiple occasions, and it's awful. I've never liked grape nuts. Someone said, you got to try them hot. Like, you have to heat them up. And I'm like, well, it's not oatmeal. It's cereal. Like, I shouldn't have to heat up my cereal, but it is what it is. So today was National Cereal Day. It's either or time. We kind of went through a couple of, that I had in my head. Brian, if you're ready for one, you can go ahead and go with your either or for the night.
I am. I have about seven, but I'm narrowed it down to two. And so we did have, you're on top of the celebrity death just like I am. And we had a celebrity death this week that hit a lot of our wives. In fact, I saw something, and it hit me too, because I watched 90210 as well. And I saw something on Facebook and said, hey, if you haven't checked on your wife today, you better, because she's not doing well because of the death of Luke Perry. And may he rest in peace. It's a very good actor. I always thought he was good. I thought he was a quality guy outside of it. Outside, not just 90210. He was recently in a very big hit, Riverdale, which is a huge show. And I watched the first season of that. I really liked him in that. So I'm going to bring up Beverly Hills 90210, though. And it's going, the either or is going to be from your wife's perspective. So if you were to ask your wife,
yeah,
are you more of a Brandon or does she think you're more of a Dylan?
I know the answer that easy for my wife. She would say I'm a Brandon more than a Dylan, I would think. Yeah. What about you?
You think?
Yeah, I'm not the rebel without a cause, bad boy type or anything like that.
I like to think that I was a Dylan. So I called my wife and I asked her. Yeah. She goes, "You're not a badass, Brian." I'm like, "Yeah, I am." She goes, "No, you're not." So I said, "I'm a Brandon then, right?" She goes, "No, you're a Steve Sanders." I'm like, "Steve Sanders? How am I Steve Sanders?" So I would have thought she would have said, actually, Brandon, I would have thought she would have said that, but she says I'm a Steve. So I'm throwing that out there.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring this up because I was never a huge 90210 fan. That was a little bit, I was a little bit on the younger side when that was really, really popular. But the other day I was driving to work. I was listening to sports talk radio as I always do. And on Mad Dog Sports Radio, they were talking in their Morning Men show. They were talking about who is the epitome of cool for you, because the guy that hosts the show, one of the hosts, was a huge 90210 fan. He said Luke Perry was the epitome of cool for his era. And he had people call in, and some people were saying guys like, you know, the Fonz. People were talking about, James Dean. That people called in even said, the guy with the mustache that was, Tom Selleck was another one that people brought up. So I keep on thinking, though, for some reason.
That guy with the mustache, that's one of my favorite.
What's that?
You can't just call him the guy with the mustache. That is my number one hero as far as TV, Tom Selleck.
Okay, so anyways, I was thinking to myself, okay, I for some reason immediately went to Saved by the Bell. Okay, so you have obviously A.C. Slater and you have Zach Morris. So Brian, you were either where I grew up and with the friends that I had, you were either in the A.C. Slater group or you were in the Zach Morris group. And you either, you know, that's who you kind of pulled for in the show. I was always a Zach Morris guy. So where did you fall? Was it Zach Morris or A.C. Slater?
Definitely a Zach Morris. You know, some people would probably say I was a Screech guy, and then I'd like to fight them if they did. But really, as far as it goes, it was great. You ever get a chance to watch it? It shows up on Facebook a lot. It's more funny. See, they take an entire episode of Saved by the Bell, condense into about 4.5 minutes, and explain why he's the trashiest human alive.
Yeah. I've seen it. They're hysterical.
So something, and he watches it, and he and Mark Paul thinks it's funny too. So, with that being said, I'm still a Zach Morris guy.
Yeah, you have to. Although I did have love for A.C. Slater. You know, he was always a stand up.
You have
guy.
To
stand up guy.
He was a moral compass.
So, all right, do you have another one, or are we done for the night?
Yeah, I do. So I was going to talk about reality shows, but I was just thinking about how would Jeff be in a fight? So what I'm thinking here is if you were in an actual fight,
yeah,
where it had to get physical, would you fight clean or would you fight dirty?
I'll tell you that my dad once told me as a kid, and I will be honest, like fighting is not in my nature at all. And he always said that
it's not mine either.
He said that he always feared if I ever got into a fight. And I said, why is that? And he said, it's not that you couldn't protect yourself, but he said, you would try to play by the rules. And he said that's not always a good thing. He said, when you're in a fight with somebody, a lot of times it's any means necessary. That's kicking, that's, you know, whatever. And he said, you would probably try to play by the rules, in which case you could end up getting hurt. So in that regard, I didn't disagree with my dad. I probably would be a clean fighter in that regard. So what about you, Brian? Same, different?
You know what? I actually would be, I have not fought. I have not been in an actual fight very often in my life. I think the last one was 1986 in the restroom at Richland High School when I was in 10th grade. I could even tell you the guy's name. His name is Gary. I'm not going to give his last name. And I claimed that I won the fight because he swung and missed and hit the paper towel dispenser and bloodied himself. But I would fight dirty. If I had to go down to it, if I was in a situation like that, I would fight to win and fight to make sure that I did not get hurt, and I would do everything I could. Thankfully, I mean, 1986 was a long time ago for me. Thankfully, I haven't been in many fights. So with that being the last one, I'm actually proud of that. But if it came down to it, especially when my family was on the line, I'm going through for the jugular, Jeff.
Yeah, well, now it's a different story. Like you said, when you have a family, but yeah, well, as a kid, it definitely probably would have been a clean. Now, the funny thing is that you bring up a paper towel dispenser, and I'm wondering, were you around when Jeff Reed, were you at that Sheetz maybe? Was that a fisticuff with you and Jeff Reed when he got into it with the paper towel dispenser?
I was his moral advisor at the time, actually.
You were his moral compass. You were his A.C. Slater.
Yes. I can see me in that role.
Yeah, no, I cannot. So
you need to hang out with me more. Yeah. You and me, Jeff Vegas.
No. So, all right. With that said, that wraps it up for us. Next week, we'll be back, and we will Dave Schofield should be back with us next Thursday, and we will have a lot to talk about because The new league year will be started. Free agency will be underway. We'll see if the Steelers make a move. If they don't make a move, maybe Antonio Brown will be traded by then. Maybe he won't. There will be a lot to keep track of. So in the meantime, make sure you check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. We've got a ton of content coming up for Friday and over the weekend. We'll be there for you, as well as all of our podcasts. Make sure you check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, you name it. We're there, as well as don't forget to follow us on YouTube. BTSC Steelers Radio, search engine, find us, subscribe. As always, like, comment, tell a friend. We appreciate all the support. For Brian, I'm Jeff. We'll see you next week on another episode of The Steelers.